Survivor's Guilt by Aero Ace Mess. Read by Cookie Mom 6067. Andromache doesn't know how long they've been in the Forsaken Dungeon. Doesn't even know if it is a dungeon. They are killed, and they survive, and they are locked away again until they are to be killed again, over and over. No food, no water, no light. Nothing to show the passage of time, apart from the guards outside the door changing on rotation. They are filthy hair matted with blood and brain and bone and grease, skin covered in each other's blood, and so much dirt, arms and legs shackled to the wall. Yet Quinn is still as beautiful as ever. She grins, still, even in this awful place. Teeth stained red with her own blood, she looks half feral, but still so, so beautiful. A true god. She spits her own blood on the floor and says, "How do you want to die next, Andromache? Do you want to be hung or burnt alive or boiled or torn apart and eaten by dogs?" She laughs and laughs and laughs until a priest comes and tries to exorcise her again. No one else will truly ever call her Andromache again. Only Quinn. The tension and terror in the air fuels her gladly becoming this monstrous thing they want to kill. They want to defeat, and she does it so well. She spits at them, scratches them, curses them, until her voice grows hoarse. And then when they slit her throat or cut off her head, and her vocal cords grow back new, she screams at them in her refreshed voice. She makes sure they are the only ones they're focusing on, because if their time is occupied, no one else will die. To them, she is the fire sent to burn up the whole world, and she burns so bright. Too bright. The air feels different tonight. While it had been charged and anxious and terrified for days and days, today it feels subdued. It feels triumphant. She doesn't know now, but these are the last few hours she'll spend with Quinn for hundreds of years. Quinn turns to her in the damp dark, grins, and says, "I've not been burnt alive yet, Andromache. How do you think it'll feel?" She faces her, this beautiful, insane god she loves so reverently, and despite it all, grins back at her and says in a whisper, "Excruciating." They huff out twin giggles like little girls and not chained up monsters. And Quinn looks at her still smiling and says, "Just you and me." And she means it when she says, "Until the end." The door opens and the guards and a priest traipse in. There is no fear in their faces. There is triumph, and it scares her. She can't remember the last time she felt terror like this. She thinks it was when she was still mortal. They unlock Quinn's shackles and not hers, and the priest says, too calm, "You are too powerful together." Then a door on the opposite side of their cell is wrenched open, and she sees it. An iron coffin. Quinn sees it as well, knows what it is, and she starts fighting, struggling against her captors, screaming in terror. It's a strange, too foreign sound to hear in Quinn's voice. She's fighting too, struggling against her own shackles, can feel them slicing into her wrists, but she doesn't care. Can't care. This is her god, her love, her best friend, her sister in arms, her partner, her Quinn. Terrified and dangerously mortal. She screams and screams over and over. The only thing she can seem to remember how to say is Quinn's name. Screaming and screaming and screaming as they drag her across the room and lock her into that hideous iron cage. She feels her wrists break, and all at once she can't see her anymore, was robbed of the ability to commit anything of her form to memory, except terrified eyes staring at her through openings in a metal face and screaming her name, "Andromache! Andromache!" over and over seared into her soul. They shut the doors, and even those beautiful eyes, are lost to her now. She screams and screams, eventually the words falling away to guttural sounds of pain and anger until she finally dies of blood loss from struggling against her cuffs. She feels it when Quinn dies for the first time, feels her drown, feels her pain and her terror and her anger, and she prays to every god she can remember and a few she's forgotten to take away her immortality, to render her mortal and let her die, to not curse her to drowning over and over in bloody salt water for eternity. They kill her again and again. She doesn't care anymore. Doesn't taunt them. Doesn't curse them. All she can say is Quinn's name over and over again, like a prayer. It's months later that they find her. The men from their dreams all those years ago, Niccolo and Yusuf. They break her out of her prison and promise to help her search for the drowning woman. They see her too in their dreams, feel her mind breaking, taste the salt water mixed with her blood filling her lungs, feel her pain and her rage. They search in England for 50 years for word of the Iron Witch, for a location to search. She drowns herself 100 times, trying to find her sunken god. After 50 years, Yusuf and Niccolo want to move on. They are drawing too much attention, and everyone on that boat is likely dead now anyway. It takes them binding her from neck to knee and killing her over and over the whole boat ride from England to Sweden to pry her from her fruitless quest and preserve their anonymity. And even then, when they are a world away, they keep her chained up in the basement of the little cottage they have got for themselves for 10 full years before she's safely deemed to not be a flight risk by the two of them. She tries her best to not think of Quinn again, but it's a meaningless endeavor. She will never be able to keep Quinn out of her mind for more than a moment, between the dreams of her dying over and over, to the crushing guilt of allowing her to be caged, to the painful, once happy memories of the nebulous before she is a constant shadow over her thoughts. She throws herself into the work, getting better, training harder, saving more people, and fucks every willing man and woman she can get her hands on. She's the avenging angel to dying peoples, and the muse to countless artisans, leaves invisible stains in every history book on earth, in the same way leaves quiet impressions in museums and libraries. One of said artists she finds herself shacking up with tells her she has the most haunted eyes he's ever seen. She supposes he's right. Years and years down the line, when Niall, so hilariously, terrifyingly young, looks at her and asks her if she believes in a higher power, she scoffs and calls her a child. What she doesn't tell her is that she cannot believe in a higher power because what merciful creator would take her beautiful, bright, living Quinn and reduce her to a caged, crazed thing? And yet she still prays to each and every one of them for both their deaths. She hopes they will be in quick succession, as well they weren't created in the same instant, soulmates physically incapable of being separated like Joe and Nikki. Her soul could not comfortably exist in a world in which her god doesn't live, caged or otherwise. The end.